is Chris Jusiak's header-only state machine library. One file, no dependencies, C++ 14, and a transition table DSL that reads almost like the UML diagram it replaces. It compiles to tight code and has near-zero runtime overhead. It is also, internally, one of the densest pieces of template metaprogramming you will find in a widely used C++ library, which makes contributing to it equal parts rewarding and humbling. This post is the field report from cutting the 1.2.0 release. Everything that shipped, and, more interestingly, everything that went sideways along the way. There are 4 new public APIs, a behavior change that traces back to undefined behavior at O2 optimization, a type name bug that passed on Clang while failing on GCC and MSVC, a run this code button that had been quietly dead for years, and a deep rabbit hole into how you make a Godbolt link for a library compiler explorer doesn't know about. If you only take one thing away, the hard part of a release is rarely the feature. It's the second-order coupling you didn't know existed. Section, what shipped in 1.2.0? The release collects everything merged since version 1.1.13. 4 of those are new public surface area, so let's start there. Section, flush queue. Draining events from async callbacks. SML's process_queue policy lets actions and queue events, via process, to be dispatched after the current event finishes. Process_event drains that queue before it returns. But what about an event pushed after process_event has already returned, say, from an asynchronous callback that captured a process handle? Before 1.2.0, there was no way to drain it without feeding the machine another event. Flush queue fixes that. It runs anonymous transitions to a fixed point, then dispatches whatever is queued, taking the same thread_safe lock as process_event. It is a no-op on an empty queue. Small surface, but it closes a real gap for anyone integrating SML with an event loop or an async I/O layer. Section, clear defer, discarding deferred events. The defer action postpones an event for later reevaluation. The mirror operation was missing, throwing away what's deferred. Clear defer is the counterpart, and the motivating case is composite states. When you leave a submachine, events that were deferred inside it should not survive to haunt you on reentry. Clear defer drops them. It's a no-op when nothing is deferred and requires a defer_queue policy. A related fix, issue number 253, makes the submachine's defer queue clear automatically on composite reentry. The two together close this stale deferred event class of bug. Section, deps TS. When a dependency vanishes from the pool. This one is subtle and bit real users. SML builds its dependency pool from the parameter types that appear in your actions and guard signatures. It reads those types off each callables operator. So this works. Dep and is in the signature. But a generic lambda that fishes the dependency out of the deps tuple by hand does not advertise dep anywhere. Dep never makes it into the auto-deduced dependency list, so it's absent from the pool, and the static_cast from the pool to pool_type, dep, and fails to compile. The fix is a new SM policy that widens the pool explicitly. Purely additive, existing machines are unaffected. Section, make action deps, teaching the deducer about generic lambdas. The same root cause, SML reading parameter types off operator, produces a second failure mode. A generic or concept-constrained callable exposes only a template, so the type trait probe has nothing concrete to read and guesses wrong. It tends to conclude the callable wants the event rather than the dependency. Make action deps, F, pins an explicit signature in front of the callable so the deducer has something real to inspect while still forwarding to the original lambda. The implementation is delightfully small, a wrapper struct with a fixed operator, tdeps, but it removes a genuine paper cut for anyone who likes auto and lambdas or C++ 20 constrained auto. Section, the behavior change worth shouting about. The min-size undefined behavior, number 249. Not every change is an addition. SML historically shrank empty state machine objects with a zero-length array trick. It works until you turn on the undefined behavior sanitizer at O2 optimization, where it trips insufficient object size violations. That's genuine undefined behavior, not a false positive. So 1.2.0 flips the default, The trick is off by default on GCC/Clang. You can opt back in with Boost SML CFG enable min size. The practical consequence is that size of SM for an empty machine may differ from older releases. That observable change, combined with the new public API, is exactly why this is a minor version bump and not a patch. A handful of other fixes round out the release. The any/_wildcard no longer fires when a composable submachine has terminated number 622. Process events are now storable in the process queue, number 580. A guard taking const state and now sees live pool state instead of a stale copy, number 530. Useful, surgical, and individually undramatic. Section, Semver, and why a patch became a minor. The reflex was January 1st, 14. The right answer was 1.2.0. New backward compatible public API, flush queue, clear defer, depths, make action, is, by the book, a minor bump. The size of behavior change under number 249 reinforces it, code that, unwisely, asserted on MTSM size, could observe a difference. The project's own history was looser. January 1st, 11 shipped a feature as a patch, but what we did before is not an argument for getting Semver wrong now. That decision had a cost I did not see coming. Bumping the version means bumping the inline namespace, v1_1_13v1_2_0. And that one rename is where the release nearly went off the rails. Section, the Heisenbug, a version bump that broke type names. Here is the entire diff that broke continuous integration. 3 characters shorter. CI went red on 2 jobs. Get type name was no longer returning int. And the failure had a bizarre signature. GCC failed. MSVC failed, but macOS Clang passed. Same source, same standard. How does a namespace rename break type name extraction on 2 compilers, but not the 3rd? Section, why a name shrank a string? SML has no real reflection. So get type name does the classic trick. It reads pretty function or func sig on MSVC and slices out the type with hard-coded character offsets. That offset is the length of the prefix the compiler prints before the template argument. And that prefix contains the function's fully qualified name, which contains the inline namespace. v1_1_13 is 7 characters. v1_2_0 is 6. Every GCC/MSVC/IAR offset was now 1 too large, and the slice came back wrong. Section, why Clang got away with it? This is the part that turns a bug into a lesson. Clang elides inline namespaces in pretty function. Its printed name is get type name, no v1_2_0 at all. So Clang's offsets are independent of the namespace length, and the rename couldn't touch them. GCC, MSVC, and IAR all print the inline namespace. Clang doesn't. That single divergence is why CI split cleanly down compiler lines and pointed straight at the cause. The Git history confirmed the pattern. An old commit had bumped the GCC offset 6869, exactly when a previous release lengthened the namespace from 6 to 7 characters. The offsets had always been coupled to the namespace string length. Nobody had changed the length in a while, so the trap had gone dormant. Section, the fix, and verifying it where I couldn't run it. The fix is a 1 character per compiler adjustment for the compilers that print the namespace, and nothing for Clang. GCC 68 wasn't a guess. It's the exact value the project used the last time the namespace was 6 characters long. I verified the GCC fix with the full test suite in Docker, 69/69, but I couldn't run the live CI's MSVC locally. So I reached for an MSVCVW-INE warning image and ran a sensitivity check. Offset 64 passed. Offset 65 produced the exact type_traits. CPP 73 failure. That two-sided test, this value works and the old value reproduces the bug, is far stronger evidence than a single green run, and it's the kind of confirmation worth insisting on when you can't see the production environment. I also left a comment in the header so the next person who renames the namespace doesn't rediscover this from scratch. The deeper lesson is uncomfortable. An ABI versioning decision, the inline namespace, was silently coupled to a reflection hack, the offsets. 2 features with no obvious relationship, joined by a string length. Those are the couplings that turn a trivial change into a CI fire. Section, the documentation no one had written. With the code settled, the docs needed to actually describe 1.2.0. None of the new API appeared anywhere under docs/. So, a real changelog entry, a configuration macro table. It had previously documented exactly one macro, reference entries for flush queue, deps, and make action, tutorial coverage for defer/clear defer, and, because the FAQ was a 0-byte file, a seeded FAQ documenting two genuine limitations, on_entry_, across translation units, and the operator, two-member function pointer gotcha, that had only ever lived in source comments. I also fixed two pre-existing broken doc links while I was in there. A typo, action_guards.cpp, actions_guards.cpp, and a path that pointed at a directory that doesn't exist, example/errors/test/ft/errors/. Small, but broken links erode trust in everything around them. Section, the run this code button that had been dead for years. SML's docs embed a compile and run button on examples. It posed to two problems, each fatal. One, plain HTTP on an HTTPS site browsers block it as mixed content. Two, the host moved years ago. Wanbox lives at wanbox.org now. The old endpoint is gone. Repointing to got it talking again, but the request still failed because the payload carried a boost, 1.60 compiler option that current Wanbox rejects outright. SML has no boost dependency. The option was vestigial. Dropping it, supplying the dispatch table.hpp utility header alongside sml.hpp, and fixing the footer link brought the in-page runner back to life, verified end-to-end against the live API across half a dozen examples. Section, the Godbolt rabbit hole. I wanted real, clickable, run on compiler explorer, links next to every example. This turned out to be the deepest hole of the entire release. Problem 1. SML isn't a compiler explorer library. You can't just hashtag include boost/sml.hpp and pick SML from a dropdown. There is no such dropdown. The first working approach was brute force. Inline the entire 3,600-line sml.hpp into every link source. Ugly, but it compiles, and I validated all 30 links, 25 examples plus 4 deliberately failing error demos, plus a make action snippet, by actually compiling and executing each through Godbolt's API. That validation immediately earned its keep. The data.cpp example defines a config macro before including the header. My first assembler pasted the header at the top and the example after it, putting the define the after macro the header, where it does nothing. The example silently failed to compile on Godbolt while passing locally, where the include order was correct. The fix was to hoist any boost sml_config macro above the inlined header. A reminder that include order asterisk is part of a single header library's API. Problem 2, discovered thanks to a reader tip. Jason Turner, Lefticus, had Godbolt examples that pulled headers straight from GitHub. The mechanism is compiler explorer's client-side hashtag include from URL. The catch that cost me an hour. This is resolved by JavaScript in the browser, not by the compile API. My API test of that exact line returned fatal error. No such file or directory, which looked like a dead end, until the realization that the doc links are clicked by humans in browsers, where the JS runs. The link's stored source stays tiny, the example, 100 lines, instead of 3,700. CE fetches the header on open. Problem 3, dispatchtable.hpp does a relative hashtag include boost/sml.hpp. And CE's fetcher only resolves URL includes in the top-level source, not nested ones inside fetched files. So dispatch table and SDL2 get a hybrid. URL include for the big header, with the small utility header inlined, and its sml.hpp include rewritten to the URL form too, preserving the order so the header arrives before the macros that need it. Problem 4, and the most embarrassing, regenerating the links surfaced a bug in my own generator. The macro hoisting fix from data.cpp used a strip pattern of define the boost s macro ml, applied indiscriminately, It also deleted dispatch table.hpp's deliberate redefinition of boost SML detail requires a macro sml.hpp hashtag undefs at its end specifically so downstream headers redeclare it. The result, dispatch table/sdl2 broke with boost SML detail requires has not been declared. The fix was to scope the strip, hoist config macros only from the example asterisk, never touch the utility header's own directives. The thread running through problems 1-4, you cannot validate what you cannot run. The URL include links can't be checked by the API. The trick I settled on was to validate the fully inlined equivalent through the API, which the API can compile and execute. Then ship the thin URL include link, same content, delivered two ways, one of which is machine verifiable. It's not a substitute for a browser click, but it catches every compilation and logic error before a human ever sees the link. Section, what we learned. A few things crystallized over this release that generalize well beyond SML. Second-order coupling is where releases die. A version bump broke type name extraction because an inline namespace was secretly load-bearing for a pretty function offset. Nothing in either feature hinted at the dependency. When you change something trivial and mechanical, ask what reads the string representation of the thing you changed. A split CI result is a gift. GCC and MSVC fail. Clang passes wasn't noise. It was the diagnosis. The compilers that print the inline namespace broke. The one that elides it didn't. Let the pattern of failures point at the cause before you start changing code. Two-sided verification beats a green checkmark. Offset 64 passes is weak. Offset 64 passes and offset 65 reproduces the exact failure is proof. When you can't see production, here, the CICE MSVC, reconstruct a local oracle and test both directions. Validate the thing you can run, ship the thing you want. The thin Godbolt links aren't API checkable, so I validated their inline twins and shipped the thin ones. Find the verifiable equivalent of the unverifiable artifact. Defaults are an API. Turning the min size trick off by default changes observable size of a behavior contract, even though no signature changed. That's a minor bump, full stop. Dead links and dead buttons cost trust. A run this code button that silently fails for years, a doc link to a directory that doesn't exist, none of it breaks the build. All of it quietly tells readers the docs aren't maintained. Fixing them was some of the highest leverage, lowest glamour work in the whole release. Include order is part of a single header library's contract. Define the boost s macro ml create default constructible depths before the include is load bearing. Tools that reorganize source, like a Godbolt assembler, have to respect it. Boost SML 1.2.0 is, on the surface, for small features and some docs. Underneath, it was a tour of all the ways a simple change reaches further than you expect, into the compiler's name mangling, into a sanitizer's object size model, into a JavaScript header fetcher, into the exact order your macros expand. The features were the easy part. The couplings were the education.